Welcome to This Is That, where the Word of God comes to life. Here, we take on everyday questions faced by believers and converts, and we dig through the Word of God where similar situations have occurred, and we break it down on how these Bible principles and doctrines can be applied in our daily life situations. And it is our intention and prayer that this fellowship will encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with God. And as our commitment to advance God's kingdom to every culture and nation, we appreciate it very much if you would hit that like button and to share and to subscribe to our channel. This Is That, moving the apostolic on your favorite podcast and on YouTube, Call to Ministry. This Is That segment. And every time you click on the like button, the more we get advertised out there. The more we get advertised, the more we are able to reach people. And so before we start, just a couple of shout-outs to our friends at the Uplift Podcast with Brother Nathan Beeler, the Steadfast Devotion Podcast with Brother Trey and Brother Calvin, and to the Search for Truth Podcast with Pastor John. First and foremost, we want to give a shout-out to God, to our families, and to all our listeners here and abroad. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to be able to speak into your lives. We thank you for allowing us to come into your homes and into your devices and to be able to speak the Word of God in your lives and to be able to share the testimonies and what God has been pouring into us into your lives. Season 1 has been really great. It has opened not only the eyes of our listeners, but also eyes of your hosts. And we are more fired up than ever to continue to bring the Word of God in your lives and to be able to bring more testimonies to you, to help you and to encourage you in your walk with God. And so, as we gear up into a new season, we will continue to dwell on how we apply Bible principles in our lives and how we can align our lives to the will and purpose of God for us. In the new season that's going to come, we will be focusing on what are the obstacles that hinder us from moving forward to the promises of God in our lives. To seasoned believers, what prevents us and delays us from moving forward towards our breakthroughs and towards our revival? And to our new believers, what keeps us from taking on the promises of God in our lives? For God has greatly promised us victories and rewards, but how do we get and see and enjoy those rewards will be up to us if we overcome the things that are in front of us. For every door of a promise lies a challenge. And so continue to keep us in your playlist, and before we start the new season, allow us to plug in a couple of Bible lessons adapted from our recorded Bible study groups. And it is our hope that you will enjoy our plug-in lessons. And as we get ready for this new season, we pray that you stay encouraged, that you stay strong in your faith. And as we continue to move together in the apostolic, let's pray for each other and let's pray for God's will in our lives, in our nation, and in our country. May God bless you all and enjoy. We need to dress up the right way. And no, we don't have to go to a name brand store and to buy nice clothes. But we all get to wear the same covering. That is why it does not matter if you're the richest guy or the poorest guy in the world. Because in the feast of God, we are all going to be wearing the same garment. And what is this garment? Again, it is not a garment that we purchase in the big stores, but everyone can purchase this garment. Everyone can buy this garment. It is not a garment that we can work for, which means we cannot attain this garment by our works, by our hard work, but it is a garment that can only be attained through our submission. And so you ask, submission to what? Submission to the master of the house. And who is the master of the house? It's none other than our Lord and King. And so, what is this garment? This garment is the garment of righteousness. Not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God. For the Bible says that our righteousness is but filthy rags to the Lord. And so you say, oh, what are you talking about? You're trying to confuse me. So, if none is righteous, how can I find this righteousness to be my covering? Simple. by allowing ourselves to be covered by the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. And so, how are we going to put on this righteousness in us? Through the righteous blood of Christ. And not only did Jesus become the Lamb to take away our sins, but He also shed His blood to be our covering. When Adam and Eve sinned, when they ate of the fruit of the tree that they were not supposed to eat, they became separated from God. When they ate of the fruit of the tree that they were not supposed to eat, the Bible says that their eyes were opened. And when their eyes were opened, they saw themselves naked. And what they do is they started to get leaves and started to cover themselves. And so the question here is, what were they covering? They were covering their nakedness. But what were they really covering? They were really covering for their sin. And God said, that is not good enough for a covering for your sin. That's why God took an innocent animal as a substitute for their sin and killed it. And when He killed the animal, what did God do? He took the skin of that animal and clothed Adam and Eve with that skin. Why? Because He knows that the leaves are not going to be enough as a covering for our sins. And so the innocent animal not only became a substitute for their sins, but the same animal gave itself to be their covering. And so fast forward to Jesus in Calvary. Not only did Jesus die on the cross to become sin for us and to take our sins, but He also shed His blood in Calvary to be our covering. The Bible says, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That's Hebrews 9 and 22. That is why Jesus had to die on the cross. Jesus had to shed His blood on the cross. And that is why baptism is very important. And why is it important? Because it is not just a thing that we do in the church. Baptism is how we put on the blood of Christ in our lives. And how do we put on Christ? We put on Christ through baptism in His name. Baptism does not make us a member of a particular church, but baptism in His name, in Jesus' name, is how we put on Christ. There are those who would say that, well, if you want to be a member of our church, you need to be baptized here in our church. No, baptism is not done to become a member of a particular church, but baptism is our way of putting on Christ. If we look at the apostles and how they performed baptism, they were commanded in Matthew chapter 28, they were commanded to baptize people in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And if we go to the history of the church throughout the book of Acts, we see the apostles doing this thing. And what were they doing? They were baptizing people in the name of Jesus. They went and baptized the early believers in the name of Jesus. Does that mean that these apostles, these disciples, made a mistake, that they didn't follow the commandment of Christ to go and baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? No. They did not make a mistake. If we go through the book of Acts, they obeyed the commandment. And what is that command? The command is to baptize them in the name. We were talking a while ago that baptism is how we put on Christ. They will say, oh, so where is that in the Bible? If you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, we go through this a lot. It would tell us, for as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That's not me. That was the Bible telling us. And to tie this with the marriage of the feast. So we were talking about the marriage of the feast. And to tie this all together, we can go to the marriage feast, but only those who wear the proper garment will be able to partake of the feast. So what are you talking about? Remember the story of the wedding banquet when the master of the house told his servants, hey, I'm going to paraphrase. I want you to give this invitation to my friends.
And the servants went to his friends and said, "Hey, my master is inviting you to his marriage feast. I want you to come." And every time that these people who were invited were received the message, they would say, "Well, I cannot go to the marriage feast because I just got married," or I can't go to the marriage feast because I just bought 2 oxen and I'm going to prove them. The others would say, "I just bought a piece of land and I must go till the land." And when these servants went back to the master was angry. The Bible says the master was angry. And he said, "Go into the highways, into the byways, and compel everybody to come into my house so that it will be full. It will be filled." And so they called on everyone. But in the marriage feast, there was this particular man who was not clothed right. He was not wearing a wedding garment. And the master of the house went to that person and said, "Friend, why are you not wearing a wedding garment?" What happened to that person? The Bible tells us that that person who was not wearing a proper garment was picked out and thrown into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, we can make everything look right. We can take a shower, we can comb our hair, we can shine our shoes and prepare ourselves the way we want. But in the end, it does not matter how we present ourselves. Because salvation is not going to be through our works. It's not going to be through what we do. But our salvation is going to be through the grace of God, by the will of God. And God's will is for everyone to come to Him as He requires us to be. My friends, that is why many are called and few are chosen, because many choose to wear what they want. But we cannot enter into heaven on our terms. We cannot go to heaven by saying, "Oh, I want to go to heaven with all of this." No, we have to submit to the plan of God. God does not need another Lucifer who is high-minded, who is mighty-minded. Why? Because there's only one God in heaven. And He sets the rules, not us. And we were talking about a while ago, we are not going to be saved by our works, but by the grace of God. How? Through our faith in Jesus Christ. And it won't matter how big we give to donations and how much we spend our time in charity. If we are not clothed right, we will still be cast out. Many people will say, "Oh, you just need to be a good person and you will go into heaven." The more I read the Bible, good people will not go to heaven if they will not obey the commandment of God. My friends, there's a lot of good people that are going to be deceived, are going to die, and going to be cast out in hell. Why? Because they think that what we do, our goodness, is good enough. The Bible says that our righteousness is just filthy rags unto the Lord. And so we got to put on the righteousness of God in us. And the only way we can put on the righteousness of God in us is through putting on the righteous blood, who came to the world tempted like as we are, and yet He did not sin. That's why when we go to Acts chapter 19, Paul went to the believers in Ephesus. And when he talked to the believers in Ephesus and said, "Hey, have you heard about the Holy Ghost?" He said, "No, we haven't heard. We don't even know if there is a Holy Ghost." And Paul asked the believers there, said, "Well, how were you baptized?" And they say, "Well, we were baptized through the baptism of John." And what did Paul tell them? Paul required the believers to be rebaptized in Jesus' name. And so, if Paul, the mighty Paul, the apostle to the Gentile nations, required the people to be rebaptized, then it must be important. And so, what does this have to do with our lesson tonight? Because tonight we are going to go through the last chapters of the book of Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God of Christ, and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What is the first resurrection? The first resurrection is the raising of the believers. After the seventh vial is going to be poured out in Babylon, Babylon is going to be judged, and we will see heaven open. 19 verse 11 said, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, on his head was many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, he has on his clothes, and on his thighs a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." From verse 11 to 16, Jesus is coming on a white horse with his armies following him. And also here in chapter 19, we will read of the eternal damnation of the beast, the prophet, and those that received the mark of the beast. When Jesus comes back, the whole earth will know who he is. And when he will come back, he will defeat the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet, and he will judge them. And everyone that took part in the government of the beast will be judged. In chapter 19, verse 19, it says, "And I saw the beast and the king of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that brought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant, or what remained, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Chapter 20. Here we will read about Satan bound for 1,000 years, and after which he will be released for a season. And the Bible says that he will be released to go and deceive many, but his rebellion will be quickly crushed. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1-6. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan," these are all one, "and bound him 1,000 years. The dragon, the devil, and Satan, they are all one. "And cast him into bottomless pit, and shut him, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, until 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead..." Who are these rest of the dead? These are the unbelievers, "lived not again until 1,000 years were finished." In verse 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection." Why? Because the second death has no power. What is the second death? The second death is those that will be judged and thrown into the lake of fire. If we continue to read in verse 7 to 10, "And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. They surrounded the city of God and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night and forever. You see, there's a false teaching that would say that when you be cast into the lake of fire, the devils will be there to torment you. No. The unbelievers, those that reject Christ, including the devil, the false prophet, the beast, they will all be tormented. They are not the ones tormenting the unbelievers, but they will be tormented. The Bible says that hell has enlarged itself. It was not supposed to be for people, but hell was just supposed to be the fallen angels. But hell has enlarged itself. Why? Because many chose to reject Christ. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When Satan is defeated after the 1,000 years, all the dead will rise up and be judged according to what they have done. And also, we are shown here that those whose names were not written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. My friends, to me, this is scary. Why? Because there are many lukewarm Christians out there who play with their salvation. There are many out there who would take for granted this salvation that is given unto us. Just as Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3 would tell us, how shall we escape? How shall we escape what? How shall we escape this eternal lake of fire where there is torment forever if we neglect or if we take for granted this salvation? What salvation? Salvation that Christ has given us, a way that we can be reconciled to God. If we neglect this great salvation that is given to us by God. Revelation chapter 21 verse 6 to 8. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. My friends, there is a reward for every tear that you shed for Christ. There is a reward for every humiliation that you receive in testifying for God. There is a reward for every cussing and humiliation that you receive from the unbelievers and from the people, from those unbelievers, when you defended your faith in God. All those years living a holy life, all those years that you have sacrificed for God will not go unnoticed. There is an eternal reward for the afflictions that you received in your faith for Christ. Many people will try to discourage you. So you will say, so if you really are a child of God, so why are you not teaching Bible study? How come your church is not growing? Why are you not healed? How come you are not rich when the Bible says that God will take care of everything that you need? My friends, as long as we remain in Christ, despite the storms, despite the rejection, despite the trials that we encounter, our reward will be greater than the afflictions that we receive. What do you do when you're living for Christ and yet it seems like you still have that affliction? Well, simply continue to live for God. Paul, the Apostle Paul, inquired of the Lord to take away his afflictions. The Bible says he sought the Lord 3 times for his affliction. And what did God answer? God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Lot, he was a righteous man, and the devil was given a task to afflict him. And when everything was taken away from him, his children, his cattle, even his health was failing. Lot's wife came to his face and said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" What did Lot do? He did not give up his faith in God. He stayed true to his faith, and after his ordeal, God blessed Lot twice, or more than what he got before the devil attacked him. And so what am I trying to say here? Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 would tell us, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. If we faint not, if we continue on our walk and relationship with Christ, we will receive this reward." But the key word here is, if we faint not. Hang on to your faith. Hold on to your faith. Do not allow the enemy to speak you out of exchanging that walk with God. For that is what the devil did with Adam and Eve. Hold on to your crowns, for not many are left. And to bring this Bible study full circle, let's go back to, why do we need to seek God? Why do we need to go to church? Why do we need to obey the Bible? Why do we need to live a holy life? Or why do we need to work out our salvation? My friends, you've been with us for almost a year, more than a year. And I have not forced you to believe or anything like that. I might have pleaded a couple of times, but I did not try to force anything to you. Why? Because just as God did not force himself unto us, the decision is ours to make. Your place, our place, where you will be when the Lord comes, will be totally dependent on the decisions that you make. Nobody can make you live for God, but that decision to live for God will have to arise from within the individual. That person has to make a choice. And if he does make the right choice, the Lord will meet with them. You will not be saved by how close you are to a pastor, or even if your father or your grandpa is the pastor. You will have to walk a life with Christ by yourself. And do not be afraid to answer people, "Why do we need God? Why do we need to be saved?" When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, their sins were not taken away, but it was passed on to every generation that came after them. The blood of the animal was not enough to atone for their sins, but that blood was good for 1 year. Until what? Until the Lamb of God would come and once and for all become the ultimate sacrifice, so that we will not have to sacrifice blood again. Romans chapter 5 verse 19 would tell us that, "For as by one man's disobedience," this Adam when he ate of the fruit that he was not supposed to eat, "many were made sinners. So as by the obedience of one," meaning Jesus becoming the Lamb of God, "many be made righteous." So what if the sin of Adam passed on to us? Well, the Bible tells us that the penalty, the cost, or the payment of sin is what? Is death. And death in Hebrew means thanatos, which means separation. Separation from who? Separation from what? Separation from God. And so, because of sin, man became separated from God. Man no longer resembled the likeness of God, but he became man. And the reason why we need to be saved is because we have to be reunited with God. We need to take out the division, the sin that separates us from God. And obviously, we are not able to save ourselves, nor can we make good enough covering for our sins. That is why the leaves that Adam and the leaves that Eve used to cover their sins or to cover their nakedness was not accepted. Why? Because it was not good enough to atone for their sins. And so, as we mentioned earlier, God took that innocent animal to atone for their sins and made its skin to be their covering. And that is the only way that we can be reconciled with God. We can be reconciled with God through the blood of the Lamb. And the great thing is that we do not have to go to the market and to go and buy a spotless lamb. We don't have to make an offering just like what the children of Israel did. For God robed himself in flesh. He dwelt among us and he became sin for us. And why did he do that? To make a way for us. The Bible says he came to reconcile the world unto himself. He knew that the blood of the animal will not be enough. And the only way for a man to be truly reconciled with him is if there is a pure blood, untainted, without sin, that's going to be shed. And God looked throughout humanity, even the righteous. It was not good enough. That's why he had to come to earth. And he had to robe himself in flesh. And he became a lamb. That innocent lamb died on the cross. And that blood that he shed on the cross became our righteousness. He became our covering. Why? Because the Bible tells us that there is none righteous. No, not one. Except God himself. And so he made himself an earthly tabernacle. And by his blood flowing through the veins of Christ, he became sin for us. He carried our sins to the cross and set us free from the bondage of sin, from the penalty of sin, which is separation, that everyone who believes in Christ shall be saved. And does that mean that if I confess that I believe, then I am saved? We indeed have to confess. We have to believe. But the word believe has a deeper meaning than just saying, well, I believe. For if we truly believe, then we must also do and we must obey the commandment of Christ. Belief in God is faith in God. And we all know what James tells us of our faith. He says, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. That is in James chapter 2. What does it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and he has not works, can faith save him? Further in James chapter 2, it would say, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so, what is James trying to tell us in here? Many people will say that works is going and evangelizing. It's not just that, but also faith in God is obeying in his commands. And what was his command? One of his command is that we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven if we are not born again. You say, you believe in God, you have faith in God, then believe what God said. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's like, explain born again. Jesus again, expounding in John chapter 3 verse 5, he said, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. My friends, check this out. Except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Being born of the water. How? Through baptism. And not just any form of baptism, as we have discussed earlier. It has to be the right baptism. We have to be clothed the right way. And not just baptism in the water, but also baptism in the spirit. How? Being filled with the Holy Ghost. How? With the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. How do you know that? Again, through the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 10, when Peter was preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, to Cornelius' house, they received the Holy Ghost. And how did the Jews that were Peter know that the Gentiles received the Holy Ghost? They heard them speak in tongues. In fact, let's go to Acts chapter 10. It says in here, while Peter yet speak these words, while Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Who are these on them? These are the Gentiles, the house of Cornelius. So while Peter was preaching God to this Gentiles, to the house of Cornelius, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And they of the circumcision, which believed, who are these? They of the circumcision, those that were of the circumcision, these were the Jews, which believed, were astonished, and many as came with Peter. Why were they astonished? Because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And how did they know that the gift of Holy Ghost was poured out unto them? 46, it says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And so, is this for debate? Is this speaking in tongues and being baptized in the water, being baptized in the Spirit, up for debate? No, it's not up for debate. For it is written, therefore it is not up for debate, but it is a commandment. And so, do we believe in Jesus? Then also believe in His Word. My friends, how much do we love our loved ones? Matthew chapter 7, verse 9 to 11. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? What is the greatest gift that we can ever give to those whom we care about? The best gift is the gift that does not just give a moment of joy, but an everlasting joy. The best gift is not just a gift that gives a season of peace, but an everlasting peace. The best gift that we can give to our loved ones is the gift that is eternal. And that is the gift of salvation, which God gives to us freely. In Luke chapter 16, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed by the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes. Who went to hell? The rich man. He lift up his eyes, being in torment, and he sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger and in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then I said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come also into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they hear. Neither will they be persuaded, even though one rose from the dead. Heaven and hell is real. Judgment is real. And as we end this Bible study, what do we do now after we learn of all these things? Well, we get baptized the right way. We seek to be filled with the Holy Ghost and with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues. And if we have done all these things, what should we do now? My friends, continue in your walk with God until He returns, until He calls on His bride. Paul writes it this way, to work out our salvation until Jesus comes, until our Master comes, until the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords returns. The Bible says to occupy until He comes. And how do we do this? How do we occupy until He comes? If the only gift that you have is the gift of praying, then be the best prayer warrior that you can be. If the gift you have is the gift of singing, then be the best singer for the Lord that you can be. If you have the ability to teach, teach. If you have the ability to do an outreach, by all means do an outreach. If the only thing that you know is to encourage others, then please be an encourager to others. Everybody has a gift. And if you don't know what your gift is, there is one that is given to everyone. Everybody is called to be a worshiper. Therefore, we must worship God with all our might and our strength. The Bible calls us to be salt and light, to be an example. How? By living a life that is holy and separate from the worldly. As we end our study, what we did was we went through a journey. We went to journey to the top of the mountain. Why did we do that? So we can have a perspective. So we can see where we are supposed to go. And on top of that mountain, there we can see valleys. We can see forest. We can see the desert area. We can see the clouds forming storms. But on top of that mountain, we can also see the destination, which is beautiful beyond comprehension. And as we get down on that mountain, we fix our eyes on the destination, that no matter what comes our way, we know, we saw from the mountain that we are going to pass valleys. We are going to pass a desert area. We're going to pass a forest area. But we also know that when we pass those, beyond those trials, beyond those troubles, beyond those afflictions, there is a destination out there. What do we do after the Bible study? Keep living for Christ. Work out that salvation and be the salt and the light that God has called us to be. For there are many who are going to be lost. And the Bible says that how are the lost going to know about Christ if no one is sent? And how is someone going to be sent if nobody is called? And how are we going to be called if we do not open ourselves to God and say, Lord, thy will be done. As we end our Bible study, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank you for allowing us to be able to be part of your lives. And thank you for trusting us to speak the Word of God in your life. And I continue to pray that God would move in your lives, that God would show the path that He has chosen for you, to make clear the path that God has chosen for you. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19 says, God is giving us choice. I give you blessing and cursing. But He made the choice for us. He said, choose life. So my friends, choose life. Choose the path that leads to Christ. Do not enter the broad way, but enter the narrow way that leads to God. And so I pray the blessings of God upon you all. And may God continue to bring increase to His kingdom. And don't forget, be the salt and the light in your workplace. And so I continue to ask for your support and join with us as we continue to advance God's kingdom and to occupy until He comes. Well, there you go, my friends. We hope that you were blessed by the sharing of the word, and we pray that God would continue to bless you and guide you as we journey together towards the calling wherewith we were all called. And we hope you enjoyed our table talk, and please don't forget to click on that like button, to share, to subscribe to This Is That on your favorite podcast, and also find us on YouTube at Call to Ministry
Just click on this is that video link. Until we meet again, continue to stay strong in the Lord. And as we continue to move together in the apostolic, always remember that this is that. God bless you all.